everybody, Bob Claster here, and I'm your host for Funny Stuff, half an hour of comedy, which airs every week at this time on KCRW. And tonight we're going to be saluting our furry friends in the animal kingdom. Actually, they're not all furry. We're going to be hearing about some feathered friends and perhaps even some insects, making up just about all of the animal kingdom, whom I am convinced comprise most of this audience. No offense, not you personally, you know, but everyone but you. Anyhow, we'll be hearing from such diverse talents as W.C. Fields, Tom Lehrer, Monty Python, Jonathan Winters, Bob Newhart, Woody Allen, Soupy Sales, Garrison Keillor, Robert Klein, Kenneth Williams, all sorts of people. And so I think it'll be a good show, all you animals out there. So we will start off with some comments about animals in general before we get to the more specific animals. We'll start off with some comments by Robert Klein. So without any further ado, here's Robert Klein.
Our whole view of animals is entirely human. We see them in our own image. I don't want to shock anyone here, but there are chimpanzees in Africa that do not smoke cigars and roller skate. They're not named Jimmy and Jojo and Simba. And they don't ordinarily wear tuxedos and funny hats. Everything is anthropomorphic. We see everything through human terms. On a cockroach spray can, it says on the side of the can, spray underneath the sink, they like moisture. Since they can like and dislike, they dislike wide open, well-lit, dry spaces. They're bored by television. They love weddings. Cockroach. Always use human examples. People leave the cats alone for 5 days. Well, I hope they won't be bored. Shall I leave the TV on? It's a cat. It's got a brain the size of a marble. I wonder how he plans his day. It's very interesting. I don't know. I think I'll go on the windowsill for a half hour. It'll carry me into noon. Maybe you get lucky, a nice cockroach on the sill, chase it around. Human beings are so cruel to one another that sometimes it just surprises me how much compassion they manage to get up for animals. I'm sure people that loaded other people into concentration camps could still be hung up on a dog. Hey, get you in there, you know, get them. Oh, puppy. Sure, Jonathan, yeah, we take it home, yeah.
I had kind of a traumatic experience, I think it was, with a cat. I didn't know this when I got it, but when the cat gets to be about, 8 months old, you have to make a decision, see? Now the thing is, are you gonna keep him in the apartment all the time or will you run free? If he's going to run free, you don't have to make a decision. If you're going to keep him in the house, you better make a decision. One of the symptoms they tell me about the time you should start thinking about is when they start crawling up the drapes and walking across the top of the ceiling. See? They're very much like humans in that regard. And of course, this has been weighing on my mind for several weeks, and forget it if you try to put yourself in the cat's place. Just forget it. You've got to take a detached attitude toward this thing. So anyway, I made the decision. I decided to get George, Nutty George, fixed. They call it fixed. And it is fixed, let me tell you. So I sent him to the vet, and I got him back in a couple days. And ever since then, all he does is sit on top of the television, just stare at me. Oh, why don't you play with a catnip or something? I told you I'm sorry, George.
Whenever we take our show on the road, all of us, the members of the crew, the musicians, all miss our cats. Knowing that with cats, it's not only the pain of separation, but it's also the way the cat treats you when you come back home. But not when you bring your cat a can of mouse morsels from Bertha's Kitty Boutique. You walk in the door, you open up the can, I tell you, that cat will be dancing on its hind legs and singing, "Oh boy, I'm so glad to see you. Oh boy, did you bring me a present for me? Oh, you shouldn't have done it." Bertha's Kitty Boutique, mouse morsels from Bertha's for persons who care about cats.
Meow.
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 Oh, if you keep a cat, or keep two or three, you know that cats are creatures too like you and me. and have needs as we do. And if they could speak, they'd say, I need some stuff from Bertha's Kitty Boutique. Bertha's Kitty Boutique in the Dales, Royandale, Clydesdale, Chippendale, Airedale, Teasdale, Mondale, and all the other fine.
Yes?
Well, I guess you don't like cats.
I don't like cats. Are you kidding? Dizzy Gillespie is a close friend of mine.
You know, I think you're kidding.
I don't think, I know.
Yeah, well, I don't think you know either.
But wait a minute. What do you mean I don't like cats? What do you think I am, a moron, an imbecile, a turkey?
When you get to jerk, that's it.
Now, wait a minute. Now.
Your dog, White Fink.
That's Fang.
Yeah, Fang to you, Fink to me, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, he chased my cat into the street. And a car hit her, and now she's gone.
Oh, well, I'm sorry, sir. I'd like to replace
her. Well, good. Come on with me. There's a mouse in my kitchen.
When I was a little boy, I wanted a dog desperately. And we had no money. I was a tiny kid. And my parents couldn't get me a dog because we just didn't have the money. So they got me, instead of a dog, they told me it was a dog. They got me an ant. And I didn't know any better, you know. I thought it was a dog. I was a dumb kid. I called it Spot. I trained it, you know. I'm coming home late one night, and Sheldon Finkelstein tried to bully me. Spot was with me. And I said, kill! Sheldon stepped on my dog.
You're invited to someone's house you haven't seen for some time, and they have a dog. They have a large, vicious dog, you see. But they've had this dog since it was a puppy, and they're very proud of it, and they're completely unaware of the fact that it's now a large, vicious dog, you see. And, you're kind of on the horns of a dilemma because you don't know, you know, you don't want to offend the guy by appearing ill at ease, and at the same time, you don't want to get eaten alive by this large monster. See? So you're invited to the guy's house, and usually it winds up the evening going something like this. Oh, gee, this is a real nice place you got out here, Harry. Gee, I love this. I love this chair. Modern, isn't it? Yeah. It seemed kind of lonely out here, you know. There aren't too many houses around. I imagine it gets kind of lonely at night, doesn't it? Oh, you have a dog, do you? Oh, sure, I'd love to see him. Where is he? In the backyard? Sure, let him in. Oh, hi there, fella. Hi. Hi, boy. Boy, he's a lot heavier than he looks, isn't he, Harry? Well, he can keep you pinned to the chair like that with just his two front paws. You just beat him, did you, Harry? Yeah. What'd you get, Mary? Liver. Yeah. I thought that's what it was, Harry. He starts to bother me, just cuff him behind the ear. I sure will, Harry. What kind of dog is he, Harry? Doberman, is that right? They make great watchdogs, don't they? Nearly tore the burglar to pieces before you could get him up. Hi there, fella. Hi, boy. Boy, you're a pretty dog. What I like a what, Harry? A drink. Yeah, a drink would be fine, Harry. Scotch and water. You aren't going to have to leave the room, are you, Harry? Fella, I don't suppose you want to get down, boy, do you? Just stay like this. You want to play a little game, boy? Want to chase the fountain pen, boy? Chase the fountain pen, boy. There you go, boy. Boy, you're a fast little dog, aren't you? Want to give me back the fountain pen, boy? Don't want to give me back the pen, huh, boy? Chew it up good. That's the way, boy.
Swallow it, boy. Maybe it'll stick in your... Hi, Harry. Yeah, we're getting along just fine. No, he isn't bothering me at all. Oh, all right. Well, if you want to tell him to get down. Hi there, fella. Hi, boy. Boy, he sure looks harmless just laying there on the floor, doesn't he? Yeah, he chewed my fountain pen, Harry. Kind of looks like a chow there with that blue tongue, doesn't he? Oh, my drink, yeah. What'd I do, Harry? Any sudden movements, is that right? He was trained that way, was he? Where'd you get him from, Harry? The Army. Who's Army, Harry? Why'd they let him go, Harry? Don't tell me what he did to the general, Harry, would you? It was the general's fault, though. He acted afraid of the dog, did he? And they can sense that, is that right? Just appear at ease, huh? That'll make him relax. That sure makes a lot of sense, Harry. Or you just cross your legs or say, a little too sudden was that, Harry? Look out, boy. No. Don't be silly. No, the suit's almost a month old, Harry. Don't be silly. No, he hardly broke the skin, Harry. Would I like to see him what? Do his trick. What's his trick, Harry? Roll over? Play dead, maybe, Harry? No? Make my hand into a fist and act like I'm going to attack you. I believe you, Harry. Hey, listen, Harry, I gotta be going. No, I don't need any more ice, Harry. Harry, don't take. I don't need any. Harry. Hi there, fella. Hi, boy. What are you growling at, boy? The gumdrops? You want some of the gumdrops, boy? Hey. Boy, you don't even chew it, do you, fella? You want some more gumdrops, boy, do you? More gumdrops, fella. Yeah, hi, Harry. Oh, we're getting along fine now. We're real pals. Boy, he sure loves those gumdrops, doesn't he? Only trouble is, when they're all gone, he doesn't understand. Yeah, they're almost gone now, Harry. You want to fill the dish up with some more gumdrops? You don't have any more gumdrops. The last one, boy, all gone. Last one. Let go, boy. Boy, let go. Where's he dragging me, Harry? Harry, get some more gumdrops. Harry!
My Uncle Willard had this used pet shop. It was for used pets. And, yeah, there's always something wrong with them, you know. And so a guy came in one day and he said, how much is the doggy in the window?
That doggy out there in front? That dog run you a dollar.
A dollar for a dog? Isn't that a little unusual?
No. I don't know whether you noticed it or not. He ain't got no claws on his right paw. Sort of a conversation piece.
Yes, no, I wouldn't want that. What the devil's that over there?
Oh, that's an owl. I can give you him for $375. You wouldn't know it. He ain't got no feathers on his body. I got him down Biloxi, and there was a storm come up or something, blew all his feathers off. And I've got purple feathers and chartreuse, and what you can do is put a little slickum on his belly and paste them on there, you know, and put him there in the parlor, and it's conversation piece like a dog. Yes, I see. Oh, listen, incidentally, don't put your finger in that bowl. No, the reason took your finger off, didn't it? Oh, God, you know, it's a funny thing. We never have to feed that fish nothing. There's always some clown like yourself putting his finger in the bowl. Took it right off, didn't he? Oh, I bet that smarts, don't it? That's a prania. Them things hit anything. Got him in the Amazon River. I never got it. Some guy dropped off here one day over at the bait shop. Listen, I'll tell you what I can do. I can give you that kangaroo over there for 10 and a half. Come all the way from Australia. Most of them do. I got him as far as Muncie, and he fell off a flat car and broke his tail. Now, you know, most of them sit back there on their tails like this. But this one, you got to lean him again some.
Oh, I don't believe I'd want that.
I guess not. Listen, I've got a boa constrictor here. It's pregnant. I can give you that, and a dozen white rats, free. You want to see it, I'll let it out here. Oh, careful. Oh, Lord. Ma, come in here. That snake up and swallowed another customer.
I wish the registry complete.
Well, this is a hospital. You want the pet shop on the next track.
I wish to register a complaint. Hello, miss.
What do you mean, miss?
Oh, I'm sorry, I have a cold. I wish to make a complaint.
We're just closing for lunch.
Never mind that, my lad. I wish to complain about this parrot, what I purchased not half an hour ago from this very boutique.
Oh, yes, the Norwegian blue. What's wrong with it?
I'll tell you what's wrong with it, my lad. It's dead. That's what's wrong with it.
No, no, it's resting. Look.
Look, my lad, I know a dead parrot when I see one, and I'm looking at one right now.
No, he's not dead. He's resting.
Resting?
Yeah, resting. Exceptional bird, the Norwegian blue. Beautiful plumage, isn't it?
The plumage don't enter into it. It's stone dead.
No, it's resting.
All right, then. If it's resting, I'll wake it up. Wake up, Polly. Wake up, Polly Parrot. I've got a nice cuttlefish for you if you wake up, Polly.
There, he moved.
No, he didn't. That was you pushing the cage.
I didn't.
Yes, you did. Polly. Polly. Polly, Polly, Polly. Wake up, Polly. Now, that's what I call a dead parrot.
But it's stunned.
What?
You stunned it just as it were waking up. Norwegian blues stun easily.
Look, I've had enough of this. The parrot is definitely deceased. When I bought it half an hour ago, you assured me that its total lack of movement was due to its being tired and shagged out after a long squawk.
Well, it may be pining for the fjords.
Pining for the fjords? What kind of talk is that? Look, why did it fall flat on its back the moment I got it home?
Well, the Norwegian blue prefers kipping on its back. Beautiful plumage. It's pining, you know.
It's not pining. It's passed on. This parrot is no more. It's ceased to be. It has expired. The parrot has gone to meet its maker. This is a late parrot. It's a stiff, bereft of life. It rests in peace. If you hadn't nailed it to the perch, it would be pushing up the daisy. It's run down the curtain and joined the choir invisibule. It is an ex-parrot.
Well, I'd better replace it then.
If you want to get anything done in this country, you've got to complain till you're blue in the mouth.
Suter, when you first came to this school, we took you on account of a most entertaining essay you wrote about a parrot that belonged to your aunt.
Ah, yes, sir.
Since then, your progress has been disappointing. I have here your exam papers from this year. Let's take a look at the general paper, shall we? Question one was, write an essay about perseverance.
Yes, sir.
Do you remember how you began this essay, Suter?
No, sir.
Read this, it'll help.
General paper, final exam, T. Suter, autumn 1980. Subject, perseverance.
Yes, get on with it.
My aunt, who I live with, has a parrot called Perseverance. One day...
Yes, and you proceed to tell exactly the same story you told when you arrived at this school.
Yes, sir.
Here's a slightly different one. History question five.
What was notable about the late 50s?
And your answer? My aunt, who I live with, used to have a parrot called 50s, who is now dead. The most notable thing about the late 50s was his enormous appetite. And question seven.
Describe the South Sea bubble and its effect on investment.
Go on.
The South Sea bubble was a large goldfish, and its effects on investment, which was a parrot owned by my aunt, who I live with.
Sultan! Do you think I am some sort of cretin? Do you think I haven't noticed? It's with whom I live. My aunt with whom I live, not who I live with.
Is here, a suppering is here. Life is skittles and life is beer. I think the loveliest time of the year is the spring. I do, don't you? Of course you do. But there's one thing that makes spring complete for me and makes every Sunday a treat for me. All the world seems in tune on a spring afternoon when we're poisoning pigeons in the park. Every Sunday you'll see my sweetheart and me as we poison the pigeons in the park. When they see us coming, the birdies all try and hide, but they still go for peanuts when coated with cyanide. The sun's shining bright, everything seems all right when we're poisoning pigeons in the park. La 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 do dee dee doo doo doo. We've gained notoriety and caused much anxiety in the Audubon Society with our games. They call it impiety and lack of propriety and quite a variety of unpleasant names. But it's not against any religion to want to dispose of a pigeon. So if Sunday you're free, why don't you come with me and we'll poison the pigeons in the park. And maybe we'll do in a squirrel or two while we're poisoning pigeons in the park. We'll murder them all amid laughter and merriment, except for the few we take home to experiment. My pulse will be quickening with each drop of strychnine we feed to a pigeon. It just takes a smidgen to poison a pigeon in the park.
You know, I've always been very fond of our feathered friend.
Yes.
Large, small, tame, wild.
Blonde or brunette?
Yes. Bill, you have quite a collection, haven't you?
Yes, I have. Yes, I have, Edgar. I always have a very rare Australian duck-billed platypus.
How small is this bird? Do you have to have glasses to see it?
Yes, about 3 or 4.
I've got a viper in this box, you know.
Really? Good gracious me.
Oh, yes. It's not an asp.
Oh, good.
Looks rather like one, but it's not one. Oh, no, I wouldn't have an asp.
No, I suppose not.
Some people can't tell the difference between a viper and an asp. More fool them, I say.
Yes.
Cleopatra had an asp, I haven't.
Yes, well, I'm glad of that.
I don't want one either. No, I'd rather have a viper myself.
Yes, well, that's all right then, isn't it?
It's none of that cheaper to run, because if anything, a viper is more voracious than the asp. My viper eats like a horse.
Like a horse, eh?
Yes, I'd like a horse. I could do with a horse. Well, nothing against horses. But mind you, I could never get a horse into a little box like this.
Yes, that would be a bit difficult.
No, no. You couldn't cram a horse into a little box like that. It's not a horse box. A viper, yes, but a horse, no.
I realize that.
But it's just about right for a viper, this box. Or an ass.
Yes, yes, quite, quite.
It's no good for a fish. Because you'd have all the water seeping through in no time. It's only cardboard, you see. It's not waterproof.
Yes, I see.
Oh, no. They haven't waterproofed cardboard yet. Or if they have, they haven't told me. Or if they've told me, I've forgotten one of the two. So it's no good for a fish. I wish it was, but it isn't. So there it is. No good for a fish. I haven't got a toad in here, if that's what you're thinking. You wouldn't catch me with a toad. I can't abide toads. Ugh. Vipers devour toads, I'm glad to say. Serpents hear through their jaws, you know. It's the bone structure that does it. Oh, yes, there's no doubt about that. Oh, good gracious, yes, it is the bone structure.
Yes, well, I suppose it would be.
I haven't got a bee in here. I don't know why you think I got a bee in here. There's no bee in my box. You have a listen. You'd soon hear it buzzing if there was. You can't hear no bee, can you?
I quite believe you. No thanks.
No fangs? There's no fangs on a bee, if that's what you mean. I've never seen a bee with fangs. Vipers have fangs. They're very fangy creatures, so are asps.
I said no thanks, not fangs.
Not fangs. No, not fangs. No, not fangs. No, bees never have fangs. You'll find they sting, but they never bite. No, serpents bite, and bees sting. That is the way you tell the difference between a bee and a serpent.
Yes.
I haven't got a stoat in here, if that's what you're thinking. Some people think I've got a stoat in here. They are completely wrong. I haven't got a stoat in here, not by a long chalk. I can't sell fancy stoats, neither. I'd rather have a viper. They're easier to rear. Oh, yes, they're easier to rear, all right. Need you ask?
I'm trying to read the paper. Would you please be quiet?
Bees aren't quiet, bees buzz. But vipers are quiet. Listen, there's no noise from my viper, is there, eh? You can't hear any noise from my viper, can you?
I wish you'd shut up!
Oh, yes, it's shut up, all right. Don't worry, you wouldn't catch me letting a viper loose. Oh, no. Where are you going?
I'm moving, if you don't mind.
Why? I don't see where you want to go. There's plenty of room in here. It's not as though it's an asp.
If you must know, I'm finding your conversation a bit of a bore.
Bore? Was that a bore you said?
Yes, bore. B-O-R-E, bore.
There's no bore in my box. I don't know why you should have thought I got a bore in here. I haven't got a bore in this box. Good gracious, no. I can't abide bores. It's a viper, all right. It's not an asp.
And there you go. That's going to do it for our salute to the animal kingdom. That was Kenneth Williams with a piece from a British Review called Pieces of Eight, and it was written by Peter Cook, who has been featured previously on this program. And previous to that, we heard Robert Klein, Bob Newhart, Garrison Keillor, Soupy Sales, Woody Allen, I can't even read my own writing, Soupy Sales, Woody Allen, Bob Newhart, Jonathan Winters, Monty Python, Not the 9 O'Clock News, Tom Lehrer, and W.C. Field. So, you know, not a bad selection of things. A pretty good cross-section of comedy there. Next week, we will be concentrating on the comedy of David Steinberg, formerly a rabbinical student and currently a television director, but once the comedian that got the Smothers Brothers thrown off the air. So maybe, who knows, maybe he'll get us thrown off the air. But in case he doesn't, we'll be back here every Sunday night here at 10:30. And you can write to me, if you care to, at Bob Claster, C-L-A-S-T-E-R, care of Funny Stuff, KCRW, 1900 Pico Boulevard, Santa Monica, California, 90405, and enclose a phone number that I can reach you at during the day, and you will hear from me, if that is something that would mean something to you. And that's about it. So until next week, this is your host, Bob Claster, thanking you for listening and reminding you, as usual, to always keep that sense of humor well exercised, because you never know when you're going to need it. Have a great week, everybody. Bye-bye.